that maybe we should emphasize that everyone's on the same page. We're on Tzadi Ches, Amid Beis, and we're up to Tanu Rabbanon, which you'll see on the top line of Tzadi Ches, Amid Beis. The last thing just to review, which has nothing to do with what we're going to discuss today, but just for the sake of jolting our memories, is the statement of Shmuel that the Agolos did not actually have a bottom to them. They were standing on Yesedos, so they were lifted up from the ground, and the Krushim were placed on top of these Yesedos, and therefore, since there was a space between these Yesedos and those Yesedos of more than three Tfachim, and we can't say Lavud, therefore the Rishus HaRabim, that's not Makura, that doesn't have a roof to it, is between the Yesedos and the next Yesedos, because they're separated by a distance of more than three Tfachim. Okay, that's just the last thing that we discussed yesterday. Now, what you may recall is that within the context of yesterday's sugya, back on Tzadi Ches Amid Aleph, we had a machlokes about the shape of the krushim. Were they rectangular? Or were they, in a sense, like a triangle in which the base of the keresh was one amma, and they got narrower and narrower until at the other end they were as narrow as an etzpa, as one finger's breadth. And that's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, which we're going to try to address right now. Ton Rabbanon, and now we're going to start with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Hakrushim milamaton, on the bottom, ovyon amo, they had the width of one amo, uli milamala. But as you go up towards the top of the keresh, kolim means they diminish. The holchim means, you know, in a gradual way, they get smaller and smaller, narrower and narrower. Ad ke'etzba, until they reach the narrow etzba. And now Rabbi Yehuda is going to quote a pasuk in the parasha of Meleches HaMishkan in Shmos Chavav, and he's going to try to prove this from one word in the pasuk. And I think, Rabbi Sachtowitz, you called it a trapezoid. Was that the word? If I remember correctly. Okay. Yes. All right, trapezoid. So I have a little picture of it here in my Gemara. And he shows you that the Amma goes up from the bottom up, and it gets narrower and narrower until it reaches an etzpa. You know, I'm thinking out loud, maybe a good mashal for this would be, I haven't seen it lately, but, you know, many years ago I saw a doorstopper. Do you know what I mean by a doorstopper? They have this thing that's shaped, you know, it's like a little bit taller, and then it goes down, and you, the narrow part, which is the etzpa, you put under the ground, you know, under the door, and it keeps the door open. A doorstopper. Maybe that would be a mashal. For, I mean, obviously that's not an amma or an etzba. It's not 10 amos tall. But again, just to give you a picture of what I have in mind, he's got a diagram here. How do we know this? Shenemar, with regard to Krushi HaMishkan, now there's one word in the pasuk that's missing here in the text of our Gemara, the printed text, and that's called v'yachdov. Okay, we'll get back to that word in just a minute, because from Nechemya, there's a second sheet in the Braisa, he's going to build his thesis on the word v'yachdov. The Gemara is probably deliberately omitting that word v'yachdov, because we're focused now on Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And it says, Yiu tamim al rosho. And Rabbi Yehuda interprets the word tamim, based on a pasuk in Tanakh, to mean kalim. Kalim means they diminish. Tamim al rosho. Now, as they climb up to the top, tamim, they get more and more narrow. And how do we know this? Because lahalan hu omer, and this is in Yoshua, And Yoshua, if you remember, gets to the Jordan River, and the Torah, the Tanakh, describes the waters of the Yarden that split for the people of Israel, as we mentioned in Hallel. And it says there, Tamu Nichrisu. So you see the word Tamu, which is the same word as we have here with regard to the Kroshim, Tamim. So we have Tamim and Tamu. That's the same word. Now, Tamu, in the context of the Bekia, the splitting of the Yarden, is a Lashon of Kloya. Kloya means it completely diminishes itself, meaning the waters are no longer there. And here also, the Kroshim, as they gradually go towards the top, the rush, they diminish until they're no longer there, because you get to a Rochav, a width of one etzba. It's almost like a point, I guess you'd call it in geometry. Okay? Now, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Kishem shelamato milamaton ovyon amo, kach milamalan ovyon amo. So we're talking about a perfect rectangle, right? Again, the width is going to be 1.5, but we're talking now about the thickness of the keresh, which is one amo. And just like you start from the bottom one amo thick, so too it's one amo all the way up till the top. It never gets diminished. Again, the question is what Rabbi Nechemiah is going to do with Rabbi Yehuda's drasha from the word tamim. But where does Rabbi Nechemiah derive this from? And the answer is shenemar yachtov. And the word yachtov indicates a certain uniform size. Yachtov means that there's an integrity to this keresh from the bottom all the way up to the top. There's no shipua, right? It doesn't go on an angle. It goes one amma from the bottom all the way to the top, and that's derived from the pasuk yachtov, which is the first word in this pasuk that we're studying. The Gemara immediately objects, v'aksiv tamim, which we interpret the word tamim to mean kolim. Kolim means that they diminish until through this shipua, through this angle, it basically ends up with nothing, just an etzpa. Hahu says, Rabbi Nechemiah, that pasuk is coming to teach me, de lesu shlemim velo lesu de nisra. Right, there are two possible ways in which you could create a keresh. You could take smaller pieces of wood and you can combine them, or you could take one solid shlema, one solid piece of keresh that's not made of nisarim, which in Aramaic is called nisra, which are smaller pieces of wood that are attached one to the other. You know, this reminds me a little bit of laws of tefillin. You know, we have similar laws in tefillin, that the hide of a tefillin is not glued together with different parts. It's got to be mikshachas. Like the menorah was mikshachas, or the chatzotzos were mikshachas. Right, so we have here a halacha of tamim. Tamim means shlemim, perfect. Perfect means you've got yourself a keresh that has all the dimensions you need, and you don't have to put together smaller pieces and glue them together. The idach nami. So the Gemara now is going to switch it around. After Rav Nechemiah has derived from the pasuk yachtov that it's one solid uniform measurement from bottom to top without sloping, is haksiv yachtov. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the word yachtov? And the Gemara answers, hahu, that pasuk of yachtov is coming to teach me, delo lishle chufnihu ma'adodi, which means that there are two different ways of setting up your kroshim. You could set up the kroshim in sort of elevated order, you know, that one keresh is a little bit higher than the other. But this pasuk of yachtov is telling me, no, the kroshim have to be attached one to the other in one continuous plane. In other words, there's one surface from the beginning to the end, inside and outside. That's how we have to set up the kroshim kula b'shava. So we're going to put the ovi of one keresh next to the ovi of another keresh, and it's not going to be that one keresh is forward and one is a little bit back behind. Okay. Now, up until here, I can more or less understand the Gemara. Now we're getting into the real rough areas. Now we have to know about the Krushim. Again, there are different sides of the Mishkan, different, you know, there's the north and the west and the, but we have to know that there are six Krushim and two Krushim. Now what that means is that when you set up Krushim on one wing, we'll call it, and then you want to attach them on the other wing, right, at a 90 degree angle. So you're going, let's say, you know, the for argument's sake, we'll call it the northern wing. And the so what you're going to have is you're going to need Krushim that are going to fill in the spaces on those corners such that the Krushim on all sides make a perfect 90 degree angle. And that's going to be two Krushim, one on each side. So the Gemara asks Akasha here on Rabbi Yehuda. Bishlei melamandi Omar. According to Rabbi Nechemya, we understand. Who holds? Kishem shemilamaton ovyon ama. Kach milamalon ovyon ama. As we said before, it's a perfect rectangle. Is then Hainu Dichsiv, now we understand how to fulfill the requirement of the Torah that's spelled out in Parshas Truma, and the Torah there says, Uliarkisea Mishkan Yama, Yama is on the eastern side, Tase Shisha Krushim, on which side?
Western.
Oh, Yama is western side? Okay, I'm sorry. And it's going to be Shisha Krushim, Ushne Krushim Tase Limiktsoos. Then on the various corners of this western side of the Mishkan, you're going to set up two Krushim on each corner of the western side. One will be, let's say, northwest, the other will be southwest, whatever, on each corner of the western side. The Asi Pusya Dahani umemalilei l'sumcha dahani. So the word pusya here means the width. So we want to get an area that will be filled in by these krushim. The two krushim will fill in that width on each of the two corners of this western flank of the Mishkan. And we can cover up those two areas on the two corners by setting up, excuse me, two Krushim. As we said before, one on, let's say, the northwestern, the other on the southwestern side on both sides. So I have a picture here in the Masifta, but unfortunately, it's not very clear. I mean, you really have to have supervision. I don't know why they did this, but it's very, very narrow. Anyway, what you have here is Pusya Dahani. So that Pusya is going to be to get the width that will attach, you know, that flank to the next flank going the other direction. And it's called Memale Sumcha Dahani. And it's going to be filled up in such a way that it'll connect to the next wing. So it's a perfect fit for that corner. That works out according to Rab Nechemya. Elo lamandi omra, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that what? That the krushim will amata ovyon amu lamala. Kolin v'holchinad etzba is high aisle v'hai nothik. I don't get it, says the Gemara. If you're talking about the top of the krushim that come to a spitz, right, a point, which we said was a an ovi etzba, it's just one little finger's breadth, then there's no way that you can have the krushim standing up one next to the other, covering that 90 degree angle on each corner. I'll read to you the Hebrew. He says, Hakroshim shebekosel tzfoni ubekosel dromi. Right, you're setting up these two kroshim, one on the northern side and the other on the southern side, attaching to the western flank. Is nichnasu lifnim. It's going to have to be that they're going to have to go somehow cut inside, so that, like, from the inside of the Mishkan, what you're going to see, because of the shipua, because of the slope over here, you're going to see empty space. Hakroshim shebishtei apinos shel kosel hamaravi, so that the various kroshim, right, two kroshim on each side of the pinot, of the corners of the western flank, the western wall of the Mishkan, kidei sheyu mechuvanim kenegdom, right, so we want to make sure that those are perfectly aligned, yiyu boltim libachutz, they will somehow not be aligned because it reaches a point. Once again, he's got a diagram here, and then, you know, trying to convert the words into pictures, and he says, "Hai nafik, the high oil, right? Or high oil, high nafik, is what you're going to see is that at one point, right, when the kosel hits the western wall, what's going to happen is that one part of the kosel, which is the keresh of whether you call it the north or the south, whatever it is going to hit an airspace, because the keresh that you're putting on the corner is by definition on the rush, it's on the top of the keresh, is going to be ki rochav etzba, it's going to be kolim v'olchim. So the Gemara answers, dishafi lehu kiturin. So again, I'm going to read to you the translation, and we'll try to figure out what's going on. He says, "Hayemekatzea es hakroshim sheyu mishupaim mishnei tzadim kmo harim." Right, turin aharim are mountains. So he's got to somehow set up the kroshim in a way that their slope on both sides will be like mountains. What does that mean? Klomar, she'osam akroshim, she'yiyu or she'hayu bepinos shel kosel maravi, hayu mishupayim gam bi'ovyam v'gam bi'rochvam, v'achein hayu shavim l'kroshim shel kosel hatzvoni v'adromi v'lo boltu l'bachutz. So it seems to me that what he's doing is he's taking two kroshim, and what he's doing is he is, like, in a sense attaching them upside down, if you follow what I mean. So that if you have one keresh which on this side reaches its spitz because the slope goes in this direction, he's going to flip over the other keresh, and that's going to create a perfect fit with this keresh. Do you follow what I mean? Because the narrow part of this keresh will be attached to the thicker part of the other keresh. Let me try to read to you again. Everything requires, you know, translating words into pictures. So I'm going to read to you the words in the English translation, and he says the following. He says, according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the corners of the boards of the western walls will be like mountains, and one would taper them. Okay, so the literal translation of Shafile is one would taper them. But thank God he has a footnote on this. And he says the following. Okay, there's going to be a slope on two sides. These corner boards, which taper off in their thickness, were also tapered at the outer sides of their widths. At the outer sides of their widths. Again, he has a picture, it's a little bit different than the picture that I have. He says, tapered at the outer sides of their widths, so that they would match the contours of the end boards of the western ends of the northern and western walls. I'm telling you, Rabosai, it's mamish.
That would mean
Chinese.
That would mean that they're not standing up straight, but they're sort of bent in order to match.
They're bent in. Okay.
Is that the picture?
I don't know. It looks like in the picture that's somehow bent in. I don't know. He has a phantom. He has a phantom keresh, which he sort of pulls out so that you see the space where it's going to fit in. So I guess he's saying that once it bends in, there's going to be a certain space, and he's going to fill in that space with the keresh, which has that slope to it, you know.
If you're using tapered crushing, then they have to bend in order to meet. The only way to keep them straight is to put in two other tapered crushing, which sort of and
are they filling in that space?
That in that space, and that would add crushing that's connected to Torah.
Yeah, I don't know. So the Gemara seems to be satisfied with this.
Very difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just, again, I don't want to belabor this point, but somehow the Gemara is satisfied that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can put these Mishupayim, Mishnei Tzadim, and we're able to somehow cover the entire area without leaving any empty space. All right, let's try to go on and see what else we can find out. We're going on about the Krashe HaMishkan. Now we have something called Briche HaMishkan. Right, the Briche HaMishkan means that there were holes in the Krashim, in the thickness of the Krashim, and there was some sort of a bolt or a pole, a Briach, that would go through these Krashim, through the holes of the Krashim, and that would give the Krashim its, he calls it Ma'amid. Ma'amid means give it its stature, so to speak. It would stand in one place. Once again, he has a little bit of a picture of it, and there's something called the Briach HaTichon, which is in the middle. Then there's going to be a Briach HaElyon, a Briach HaTachton, and these are going to somehow keep the Krashim. He says the following, and the middle bar, which is the Briach HaTichon, which is inside the boards, extending from one end of the board to the other, and he says the following. I'll just read to you very quickly his comment, because ultimately what we want to know is the Brisa says Bines Haya Omeh, that this middle bar stood up miraculously. So I really should take the time to open up the Chumash in front of us, but in any event, let's just rely on the Gemara's quote here. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk Briach HaTichon B'toch HaKroshim, and he says the following, that in the previous two verses, the two Psukim that come, this is Pasuk Chaf Ches, the Torah states that the boards on each side of the Mishkan shall be braced with five bars, okay, we call them poles, he calls them bars, running across the length of each wall. Okay, so we're talking about the length now. And he says that each wall would be braced in three places, one towards the top, one in the middle, and one towards the bottom. The top and the bottom braces consisted of two bars each, running through rings mounted on the outer sides of the boards. These two bars began at opposite ends of the wall and met in the middle. However, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting here states that the middle bar was a single bar spanning the entire length of the wall, running not through rings mounted on the outside, but rather through holes bored in the thickness of the boards. Okay, so why is that miraculous? So he says that the Pasuk says, again, let's read it, Habriach Atichon B'toch HaKroshim. Okay, B'toch HaKroshim means from one end to the other. Okay, we don't have the, maybe I'll get a chance to open up the Pasuk. And he says, this is referring to the northeastern and southeastern ends. So all three walls had been set up and secured in a U shape, and a single middle bar, which is more than 70 amos long, was inserted at the eastern end and miraculously snaked around the corners to the western ends until it came through the last board on the eastern end. So basically, if you have a U-shaped Mishkan and you're talking about one single bar that has to go through the thickness of the of all the krushim, well, that's going to have to turn around at some point, and when it bends around, that's going to be a miracle. He writes here that there's another brisa called the brisa Meleches HaMishkan, which Tosus often quotes, even Rashi quotes it. And when it says in the Pasuk, Min HaKotza LaKotza, from one end to the other, that's referring to the ends of each individual side. So that's not what we have here in our brisa. So it means that, he says, in contrast to the upper and lower braces, which consisted of two separate bars meeting at the center, the middle brace was one long bar spanning the length of that particular side. There was nothing miraculous about the positioning of the middle bar, because he's not learning that the bar went all the way around. He's learning that the bar just went through that side, that flank of that flank of the Mishkan. Now let me just read to you the Hebrew translation. He says here, Achar shemidu es kol karshe ha mishkan lemarov tsofon vidorom. So he's got to crush him on three sides. He calls it the western side, the northern side, the southern side. He doesn't go through details about that. But he says, Oyenosein es abriach b'chol sholosh aruchos min hakotze lakotze. Ubenes hoy abriach nichfaf me'elof, right? It would bend around. V'ein uman sheyochol lasos ken. There's no carpenter, I guess he would say, that could possibly do this, and therefore it has to be miraculous. Omnom, he says in the footnote, Bebraisa de Meleches HaMishkan Mevuah Shemashenema Bebriach HaTichon Min HaKotza LaKotza Ein HaKavona Sheyer Nichnas Bechol Shol Sharuchos El HaKavona Sheyer Nichnas Beruach Achas MiKotza HaEchad HaKotzei HaSheni Da'ainu Shebriach Zeh Lohoya Kibrichim HaKhirim Shoyorak Al Chetzi MiOrech HaKosel. Right, because he had the two bars that met in the middle, coming from both sides. But here it was Bariach Holech Al Kol HaKosel Mitzad Zeh Shel HaKosel until the other side of the Kosel. And according to that brisa of Meleches HaMishkan, Lohoya Nes Bebriach HaTichon V'Cholekes Al HaBrisa Shebesug Yoseinu. And this is what Tosus quotes here, Divra Maskil Tana. Okay, let's see how this experiment continues. All right, now we want to know about the urios, which are the coverings that were on top of the Mishkan. And there's going to be a nafkamina here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemi, even though their argument is not about the urios per se, they're arguing about the thickness of the krushim as they go up on top. But that's going to have a repercussion in terms of the curtains and the coverings over the Mishkan. The Pasuk says, again in Parashas Truma, it says, Amishkan ta'aseh eser yirios, Orech hayiria ha'achas shmona ve'esrim ba'amo. So the yirios, or at least one yiria, was 28 amo. And the next part of the pasuk says v'rochav arba bi'amo, and it has a width of 4 amos. So we're talking about a length of 28 amos and a width of 4 amos. And then he writes in the translation, he says, Sheyasu eser yirios. They made 10 of these curtains. Shekol achas mehem. Arucha, each one was 28 amos biorech and 4 amos birocha. V'yechabru es eser ha'yirios yachad l'rochbam. So these 10 yirios were connected to each other in the width. U'kishetachaber es kol ha'yirios yachad. Once you connect or combine all the yirios together, nimtza she'midas ha'yiria kula esrim u'shmona amos orech al arboim amos rochav. So if you're going to multiply 4 amos in the rochav by 10, you'll end up with 40 amos in the rochav. And the height was 28 amos. He says the following. Let's calculate the way that he would place the yirios on top of the mishkan. Shedi archayu lefusya de mishkan. Set up the length of the yirios to the width of the mishkan. Kama havya esrim vitamne 28 amos. Dal and subtract eser leigra 10 amos for the wall. I'm sorry, for the ceiling. Shayu munachim al rochav chalal hamishkan. So in other words, the yirios were not just set up on the sides, like we have dofnei sukkah or anything like that, but the yirios would hang down from the roof. They would cover over the roof of the mishkan. The roof of the mishkan was eser amos. So now, when you're talking about the length of the yirios as they flow down from the roof, and you subtract the eser amos of the roof from the 28 amos of the length of the yirios, is pashaluhu teisha lahaygisa v'teisha lahaygisa. Right? So you have 10 plus 18, which is 9 times 2, is 28. So it means that as the yirios flow on both sides of the mishkan, coming down from the roof, you'll have a length of 9 amos coming down on each side. So the Gemara says the following. L'Rabbi Yehuda, he says that, again, this is not a kasha. The Gemara is not asking questions or raising objections. The Gemara is just calculating the differences here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. L'Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the yirios were kolim, ad shebaroshem, there was a rochav etzba. So then when they covered when the yirios were draped over the mishkan, then ovi akrashim lo haya memait mi orech hayirios vayirios noflim umechasim teisha amos mi bachutz umegalia ama de adonim. So then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that when they draped the yirios over the mishkan, the thickness of the krushim would not diminish the length of the yirios, and the yirios would fall down and cover the full 9 amos of the side of the mishkan. And now we have 1 amo left, right? So where's the extra amo? He says, "Umegalia amo de adonim." He says, "Velo nishar megula migova hakroshim ela amo shel adonim bilvad." Okay, so he has 1 amo here. I'm just going to take a quick look at the picture here. He has each one of the pictures. He numbers here, so he has Number 7. Let's see if we can find number 7 here. Okay. So he's got the 9 tfachim coming down here. And Megala Avod Nedon. In other words, I think what he's saying is that since the Krushim diminish on a slope until they get up to the top, there's going to be one part beyond the 9th Keresh, or the 9th Amma of the Keresh, that's going to be exposed. That's called Megalia. And that's going to be basically exposed for one Amma. Ulrab Nechemia. But on the other hand, if you hold like Rab Nechemia, that we have a perfect rectangle and the thickness was the same Amma all the way up to the top, is therefore Megalia Amma de Krushim. He writes, Nishar Megula Gam Amma Achas Miakrushim Binosaf Al Amma Shel Adonim. And that, he says, you should take a look at Seer number 8. So let's see if I can somehow translate this into a picture. I don't know, this is a little bit, again, you know, when he gets to the punchline of the picture, it becomes very, very light and very subtle, very hard to read it. Let me read it to you in the English and see if it makes any more sense in the English. He says the following. The Torah says, you shall make the tabernacle spread of 10 panels. The length of one panel is 28 amos. The width of one panel is 4 amos. And place the lengths of the panels across the width of the tabernacle. How much was the spread of each panel? 28 amos. But you have to subtract 10 amos for the roof. And what you're left with is 9 amos of curtain to this side, which he says is the northern side, Vitesha Lahaigisa, and 9 amos to the southern side. And these are draped over the outside of the walls. According to Rabbi Yehuda, only the Amma of the sockets was left exposed, whereas according to Rav Nechemia, an Amma of the boards was also exposed. So again, we have to know what was exposed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is telling us that only one Amma of the Adonim was exposed. According to Rav Nechemia, in addition to the one Amma of the Adonim that was exposed, there was also an Amma of the Krushim that was exposed, meaning it wasn't covered by the Rios. So he has a long footnote on this. And again, if you'll bear with me, I'll just read this footnote to you. He said, first he tells you what the word Mishkan means. He says that the Mishkan is referring to one of the various coverings that were draped over the Mishkan. And there were many coverings. The Mishkan itself is the lowermost covering, on top of which there were other coverings, which are made of tachash and so forth. He tells you that the lowermost covering, which is called the Mishkan, was made of the following, this for our own, you know, our own expanding our knowledge, it was made of linen, wool, blue wool, purple wool, twisted linen, red wool, scarlet wool, and they were all woven in an intricate pattern. These were draped over the frames of the boards. This would cover the outside of the boards, and it would form a tent over the interior of the Mishkan. And the word Mishkan means it serves as a decorative interior in the ceiling of the Mishkan. So I guess if you're inside the Mishkan and you look up towards the ceiling, you see this beautiful decoration which is called the Mishkan, which is made up of all those different wools and colors and so forth that are woven together in an intricate pattern. Fine. Now, you're looking from the inside, or he calls it the interior, and what you're going to see is that the Mishkan, right, that surrounds you, consists of 10 panels. And these panels are 4 amos by 28 amos each. They were sewn together into two large sections of 5 panels each, measuring 20 amos, right? Because 5 times 4, if the width is 4, and you're talking about 5 panels, so the width totals 20 amos, and the height was 28 amos. So you've got 5 panel sections, and the 2 5 panel sections were hooked together, so that the final dimensions of the spread, right, if now you're going to multiply the width, which we said was 4 times 5, because you had 5 panels, and now you're attaching another 5 panels, so that's going to be 40 amos by 28 amos. The boards were 10 amos tall, and the bottom of the krushim were encased in adonim. They were silver sockets. I guess they kept the krushim in place. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the boards were diminished as they go up, the remaining 9 amos of curtain on each side, right, we made that calculation that we're left with 9 amos of curtain on each side.
No, that's calculation was, if they're straight up, then you have 9 on each side, right?
Correct.
But if they're tapered in, you're going to have 9.5 on each side.
Okay,
that
let me...
That gives you an extra amma.
Okay.
And that's why, according to Reb Yehuda, it goes down a little further on each side and covers the adonim.
Okay. So I'm just going to read to you the note. He says, according to Reb Yehuda, the remaining 9 amos of curtain on each side cover the outer surface of the krushim. That's 9 amos, leaving 1 amma tall silver socket exposed. Then he has another footnote here that actually it's a little bit more than that. Fine. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we get to Rabbi Nechemiah. And he says the following. Since the walls were an amma thick on top, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, an extra amma of curtain was taken up on each side by the width of the boards. Thus, only 8 amos of curtain draped over the backs of the walls on the northern and southern sides, covering 8 amos of walls. And he says these are the walls' outer perpendicular 10 amma surface. So what's left exposed, he says, is not only the amma high sockets, the adonim, right, as well as 1 amma of board on top of them. And he tells you to see the illustration. Now, I guess what's happening here is that because you have that extra thickness on top, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, then the draping curtains are only going to reach 8 amos instead of 9 amos, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, you have to figure out here, just 1 second. Okay. So again, if we go back to Rabbi Yehuda, he says the 10 amos of curtain would cover the 9 amos of exposed board, as well as the amma that was encased in the socket. Okay. Then he says, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, since the remaining 10 amos of the curtain had to cover the amma thickness of the western wall, It left only 9 amos to drape over the rear of that wall. So that what you have is, on the bottom of the wall, you have part of the crushim that are exposed. So whereas, if I understand correctly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since the thickness on the top of the kroshim is 0, right, it's etzba, roch of etzba, so you get yourself a full nine amos that the Urials are draping the Mishkan, and that'll cover you all the way down to the Adonim. But if you hold like Rav Nechemiah, then you have to add that Amma on top, because the thickness on top is also of the crushing was also on top. So that's going to subtract from the spread, so to speak, of the Urials over the side of the Mishkan, over the crushing. And that's going to reduce it down to 8. So there's going to be part of the crushim on the bottom that are exposed. And that's, I guess, 1 amma's worth of crushim. Again, there are a lot of different calculations here that he makes. And that's in addition to the adanim, which are the sockets that hold up. So the sockets that hold up, let's say, are 1 amma. And according to Rav Yehuda, we have 9 amma's draping, reaching down to the adanim. So the adanim were exposed, but that's only 1 amma. Whereas according to Rav Nechemiah, since the draping was only 8 amos because of the thickness of the keresh on top, so then not only is that 1 amma of the adonim that's holding up the krushim exposed, but there's another amma of keresh that's of the krushim that exposed, because all you get now in covering over the Mishkan is 8 amos. Okay, that's what I have so far. Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk, V'asisa yirios izim li'oel. You shall make panels of goat hair for a tent spread over the tabernacle. So I guess on top of the Mishkan, we have now yirios izim. This is the second covering over the Mishkan. And the Torah says 11 panels shall you make. Orech hayiriyah achas shloshim bi'ama. Right, so that as you get higher up, you know, the higher coverings, you're going to need a little bit more of a length, because you know it's got to cover the entire Mishkan. So the Torah specifies that the orech hayiriyah achas is now shloshim ba'ama. Okay, the width of each panel is once again 4 amos. Okay, let me just see if make sure I have the place here. He says orech hayiriya achas shloshim bi'ama, and then he says shidi orchayu lefusya de mishkan. So if you're going to place the lengths of the panels across, kamahavya, this we saw before, tlosin, so we end up with 30 amos, dal eser li'agra. The igra that we subtracted 10 for the roof is pashalu eser lahai gisa vi eser lahai gisa. And once again, we're going to have the same nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah that we said before. We have now 10 amos of the spread of the urios that are made of goat hairs on one side, the northern side, another 10 amos falling down over the tent on the southern side. These are the two drapings. They're coming down 10 amos on each side. Is Rabbi Yehuda michsi amad adonim? Now that we have 10 amos, that's going to cover even the sockets. But Rabbi Nechemiah migla amad adonim. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, since we're going to have to subtract 1 amma for the thickness of the keresh on top, so we're left with now 9 amos. And it's going to expose the amma of the adonim, of these sockets that are holding on to the keresh. So basically, everything got reduced by 1 amma, because the second covering of the Mishkan, which is the orech hayiriyah of the Urials ha'izim, gave us an extra amma on the draping over the sides of the Mishkan. So we went from 9 amos to 10 amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, That's going to cover the entire Mishkan from top to bottom, meaning even the sockets that are holding on to the Kroshim. That's the Ten Amah. So everything is concealed, is covered. Whereas according to Rav Nechemi, instead of having 8 Amos, as we had before in the Mishkan, now with regard to the Ariel Sa'izim, we have 10 Amos. We're going to have to subtract 1 Amah because of the thickness of the Kroshim on top. And once we reduce it to 9 Amah, then we're going to expose the Adonim. Tanya Nami Hochi, and this was also taught in a Braisa, Ha'ama Mizeh Ve'ama Mizeh Ba'odef. Okay, we're talking about the spread over the Mishkan. The Am on this side, the Am on this side, in excess, in the length of the panels, the tent spread shall drape over the sides of the Mishkan spread on this side to cover it, and on this side to cover it. And what's being covered, what does it mean? Mizeh, lechasos Ama shel Adonim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Torah has in mind the extra Amma on this side and that side, that's to cover the Adonim, which makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a full 10 Amma of the second covering of the Mishkan that goes from the top to the bottom, and it covers even the 1 Amma of the Adonim. Rav Nechemi Omer, he could not interpret it that way. He's going to have to say, L'chasos Amma shall crush him. Meaning, as opposed to the Mishkan, which was the first covering, where we had to cover not only the Adonim, but also 1 Amah's worth of Kroshim, when we get to the second covering in the Mishkan, which is the covering that's made at a curtain made out of Ezim, of hairs of goats, now we have the extra Amah, and therefore we could cover the Kroshim. We still have 1 Amah that's exposed in the sockets. Okay, let me just see how much time we have. Let's see if we can hop around another little piece of the Gemara here. Okay. Now again, we've been talking a lot about the western wall, the Kosel HaMaravi of the Mishkan. And the Gemara says, Shidei Pusayu Li Archei de Mishkan Kamahavi. So now we're going to combine the widths of the 11 panels, and how much of a width do we have if we combine all the panels? Arboim v'arba. We have 44. Dal talsin li igra. Subtract 30 amos for the roof of the inner length of the Mishkan. Poshilu arba srei. You're left with 14 amos of the tent of the Mishkan. You still have to subtract dal tarte lekafla. Another 2 amos have to be subtracted for the fold over the front of the Mishkan. That's the eastern part of the Mishkan. Dichsiv, as the Torah tells us, v'kafalta esayiria hashishis el mul pnei ha'oel. You shall fold the 6th panel over the face, which is the eastern side of the tent. Is partially what you're left with now is Tarte Srei. You have 12 amos of tent hanging over the western wall of the Mishkan. Bishlam, I understand. L'Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Dechsiv Chatsi Hayiria Ha'odefes Tisrach. The Torah says that half of the extra panel shall drape over the back of the Mishkan, right? Because we're left with 12 amos. So what we're going to now subtract is Chatzi Ayirio Defes Tisrach. Okay, we have to know exactly what that size is. On this he has a gigantic discussion. El Rab Nechemia, my Tisrach. What does it mean that half the extra panel shall drape? What is it on the ground? There's only 1 extra Amah that we said, according to Rab Nechemia, that would drape on the ground. So what does it mean, Tisrach? In other words, the word Tisrach here seems to be totally out of place. All right, so I guess, let me just read to you 1 or 2 notes here before we conclude. he says that the upper covering is called Ohel. And that was a protective outer covering. It wasn't as decorative as the interior covering, which was closer to the Mishkan itself, which was called the Mishkan. So we're going to talk about Ohel, a tent covering. And they were sewn together in two sections, one of six panels and one of five panels. So six panels was 6 times 4 amos, which is 24 amos. And the other section was five panels, that's 5 times 4 amos, is 20 amos. So we've got one section that's 24 amos, one section that's 20 amos. The two sections were then hooked together, and therefore the final dimensions of the Ohel covering were 30 amos by 44 amos. Okay then? So the 30 amos we saw in the pasuk that says Orech HaYiriyah Achas Shloshim Ama, that the length of one panel was 30 amos. The width was 4 amos. And now if you have panels of 6 amos, of 6 panels, of 4 amos each, and panels of 5, and also you have one section which was 5 panels, that's 5 times 4 is 20 amos, so we have the total is 44 amos. So if we want to talk about the Ohel, it's 30 amos by 44 amos. Now, in that sense, the Ohel really has an extra Amma, and that's going to be taken up. Just 1 second. All right. There's a height of slightly more than 2.5 etzbos. But anyway, the Ohel panels were 1 amma longer than the Mishkan panels. And that's on each side. And the purpose of that is to cover the sockets, the adonim, which were left exposed by the first layer of curtains. Now we have this extra amma in the Ohel spread, and that's taken up on each side. Just 1 second. This, I think, is, just see if I'm right here. Yeah, this is an interpretation of the pasuk, vi'ama mizeh ba'odef. So that the Ohel spread, that was an amma longer on each side to cover the amma of krushim that were left exposed above the adonim by the first layer of curtains. And the Ohel spread panels, which were 30 amos long, were an amma longer on each side than the Mishkan panels, which were only 28 amos. And the pasuk is telling us that that extra amma on each side was meant to hang down below the Mishkan, the tabernacle spread as we called it, to cover it. And what is it covering? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's covering the Amma Shel Adonim, and according to Rabbi Nechemi, it's covering the Amma Shel Krushim. Now, we're going to talk about how the Ohel spreading covered the Mishkan spreading on the western side, the Kosel HaMaravi. And we said that we're going to place the combined widths of the 11 panels across the length of the Mishkan. Right, because we said that there were two sections. One was made of 6 panels, and the other of 5 panels, a total of 11 panels. So we have the combined width of the 11 panels, which go across the length of the Mishkan, Kamahavi. and that would be 44 amos. As we said before, because if we have the six panels of four, that's 24, and the five panels of four, that's 20 amos, it's all told 44 amos. But now let's subtract the amos for the roof on the inner length of the Mishkan, and that's going to be Dal Tolson. So we're going to subtract 30 amos for the roof, and 30 minus 44 is 13, is Pashalu Arbasre. Now we have to subtract Dal Tarte Lekafla. So you're going to have to subtract another two amos for the fold over the eastern front of the tabernacle, the Ksiv, because it says, V'kafalta es ha'yiriyah shishis el mul pnei ha'ohel. Is Poshalu Tarte Sreis, you're left with 12 amos of tent hanging over the western wall of the Mishkan. So we'll get back to a minute this pasuk of the kafalta siriya shishis, and now let's just calculate that Bishlami Rabbi Yehuda. We can understand Hainu Dechsiv Chatzi Hayiriya Hodefes Tisrach. That means half of the extra panels shall drape over the back of the Mishkan. And here we want to take a little bit of a break and try to read the notes here. He says the 11th panel gave the Ohel spread an extra 4 amos of width above and beyond the Mishkan spread, which means 44 instead of 40. And the Torah now mandates that the half of the 6th panel, okay, the 5 panel section on the west and the 6 panel section was on the east, to extend over the front of the Mishkan. So that half of the panel was extended over the front, and that's evident from the pasuk that says that we have Chatzi Hayiriyah Hodefes, half the extra panel shall drape over the back of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, implying that the other half was extended over the front. So there were no boards at the eastern side, the eastern end of the Mishkan, only a screen, a masach, that was drawn across. So there's no need for a tent covering to hang down further on the eastern side. Now the pasuk implies that half of the extra panel, that's the two amos, you shall drape on the ground behind the wall. And this expression that we find here of shall drape elsewhere in Pasuk Yud Gimel actually clearly does not refer to draping on the ground. So we have to understand exactly the inference. But if we get back to the boards that according to Rabbi Yehuda are tapered with a rochav etzba on top, so the remaining 12 amos of tent, there would be 10 covering the 9 amos of board, 1 amos covering the adonim, and the extra 2 amos of tent, of ohel, which is half of the extra panel, would lay on the ground behind the wall. It was like just draped over the ground. And according to Rav Nechemia, on the other hand, there's only one amma that has to cover the one amma of the width of the western wall, and another 10 ammas cover the 9 ammas of the board, and one amma of the socket, and only one amma would lay on the ground. So we're trying to figure out what the Gemara's kasha is, my tisrach. Because the language of my tisrach, of half the extra panel, would seem to refer to two amos, which is half, rather than one amma. And according to Rabbi Nechemia, we only have one amma of draping on the ground? So the Gemara answers, Tisrach mechavruseh, that what the Pasuk has in mind, it should drape beyond its companions, so it's beyond the point that's covered by the first Mishkan, right? The first covering over the Mishkan. So according to Rav Nechemiah, the Pasuk is not saying that half of the extra panel would drape on the ground, which would be two amos, but rather that it shall drape beyond the first covering. Now, how much will it drape beyond the first covering? Only half of the extra panel, which is two amos worth, drapes beyond the first covering. One of those two amos, the extra amos, covers the sockets, which were left exposed on the western side by the first covering, the Mishkan covering, and the second extra amma drapes on the ground. And here we're up to Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, which is two lines up before the end of Tzarichas Amid Beis, and that's where we're going to stop for today.